This morning before the sun, grab my gear to get some fishing done. Jump in my pickup, give her a crank. I gotta talk with Fishin' Frank. Fishin' Frank is the guy who'll know where the redfish and the tarpon go.
Did you hear that?
From your Frank. Boat or
exactly.
From the bank.
See, the I'm just telling you, there's songs and everything. You need to understand this,
got
Captain.
Got the tackle and the know-how too, and more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most
said,
fish in their
fish
tanks have surely been to Fishin' Franks. You gotta
yeah.
Go to Fishin' Franks.
That's what I told Robert.
The one who knows his Fishin' Franks.
You gotta point it at the microphone there, Captain Dwayne.
I didn't know you was on the air.
Oh yeah, we're actually recording. We're getting doing a show here. I should have done a microphone test when I started. I know Robert's mic's off, but
yeah, you didn't test me this morning, so I'm what I am.
Yeah, I think you're actually pretty good. And you, sir, is your microphone working? Just say hello.
Hello.
Okay. Now this is Captain Dwayne French, and I'm gonna let him introduce his guest cast.
Good morning, folks. We've got Captain Warren with us that works on the big boat with us this morning. We pulled him in. He's not very well into this, but
he doesn't have a radio edification, does he?
We forced him into it this morning.
Him right there, big words.
Yeah, big words. I get it. Let's see. I put my headphones on so I can tell what's going on. Anyway, what's the name of your charter business, Mr. D?
We own Real Action Charters. Our website would be sportfishingplacita.com.
Okay, and if you click on Dwayne's picture right next to this, it'll take you right there, or the logo, whichever I put up next to this, it'll take you right to his website. But Real Action Charters, now that's the little boat.
Well, it's actually the full entity in itself. We have the inshore boat and the offshore boat as well.
But now, you have that old boat. I mean, you've been running this boat like me forever and ever. You got a haul, you love it, and that's what you run. But it runs skinny, and it runs nice, comfortable in the backwaters. And have you done any back bay fishing here recently?
No, we've been a little slower on the backside. The big boat offshore, everybody's looking for that bag of groceries, as we all call it. Cooper season opened January 1, so we've been pretty steady at it with the weather.
The reason you're here today is because it's blowing and it's
blowing now, 20 today, so we kind of took off.
Yeah, you got a 42 foot Hatteras, right?
Yes, we do, and it rides real well. Monday we slipped out, and the minute we turned the pass, it was probably good 5 footers rolling, but it laid down real nice as the day progressed, and it turned out to be a very prosperous day.
But one nice thing about running that big boat, that great big bow, is it's nice and safe even if the weather picks up.
It is. It's very safe. Rides good. It rides better than most in the area just because of the age and the weight of it.
Now, the one question I do have is, you know, you've got the flying bridge up there. Now, how do you keep Warren from hanging from his feet and running the boat upside down? I mean, are you able to do that most of the time?
We're going to let him answer that one.
Well, this time of the year, it's so cold, I got so many jackets on, I can't do nothing but steer, since I don't have any windows.
You don't have any, what do you mean no windows?
We're getting new, what's it called?
Isinglass.
Isinglass put in, so in the meantime, I get to freeze.
You mean up in the flying bridge?
Up in the fly bridge, yes.
Yeah, because the downstairs, you left all the windows in the boat.
Absolutely. Heat, air conditioning, everything Dwayne needs to survive.
I like that. Everything Dwayne gets to survive. The heat, the air conditioning, and all that. You're down in the main salon, right?
Very much so.
Did you notice that word, salon?
Yes, sir. I thought he was getting close to saloon, and I was getting ready to get in trouble.
That's only when you and I are fishing together.
Yep. No, Warren, he does complain a little bit every now and then about me being downstairs and him upstairs. He says, I get all the extras and all the bennies downstairs. But we did break down by a new windlass the other day, but he said it was only because I was tired of helping him pull the anchor. So You know how that goes. So this morning we had the day off, and I got him a new radio, new stereo for the fly bridge. So he's pretty content right now.
I'm more concerned about what I, you know, what I'm going to have to do to pay this stuff back. You know, am I going to have to scrub the boat by myself, or you know?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, there's always a catch.
There's always a catch.
If you're not catching fish, there's a catch for something else.
That's
I'm sure.
Right.
Let's see.
Anyway, now your big boat, you've been going offshore. Let's throw a little fishing into this show. That would be a rare thing to happen. Like, we're actually going to talk about fishing. How far out right now is the really good fishing?
Our average right now is around the 20-mile mark. We're doing pretty good. The snappers seem to have slowed down since last time I talked to you guys a little bit. But the grouper with these fronts we're getting, they're moving in and out. So we're doing well with the grouper. The snapper is still good, don't get me wrong. It's just there for a while. We had a pretty steady weather, and it was pretty much a limit every day on our snapper. You know, we're not pushing the limits every day, but we're getting real close. I mean, it slowed down a little bit, but we're getting some high-end grouper.
How far out are you having to go some days?
Some days we'll run up to 30 miles on our day trips if we have to. But like I say, the winter time, we get our gags that move near shore, and our red grouper will move out further. So right now the gags are closed, of course. We've been throwing them back on a daily basis, quality fish. And some people just don't understand, but we have seasons on everything that we fish for, whether it be inshore or offshore.
And this isn't just anything to do with Florida. When you're out there, you're dealing with federal regulation as well as state regulations.
Correct. Once we pass that 9-mile mark, that's where the state rules in and the federal take over. And with us being a federal inspected vessel and all federal permitted, we actually have to abide by federal rules no matter whether we're in state or federal waters.
Now, if you go to fishandfranks.com, which you did to get here, look at there's an icon on the page that shows two boats, and it says fishing laws below it. And you see the Marine Patrol pulling somebody over type picture. And under the fishing laws, and then go down, there is a green button, big, long green button. This is federal laws for the Gulf of Mexico. So when you click that, you can easily see you look it up by the fish on that page, whichever snapper, grouper, all the registered fish are on there. And if it's green, it's legal to catch. If it's red, it's not. And it goes by the month. And it also, if it's yellow, something different happened, a quota permit happened, something special went on. So, but that's the easiest way to find out part of the laws you guys got to deal with. But you have another set of laws because you're recreational/commercial.
Correct. The commercial side, we kind of keep as a private entity for Warren and I as well.
Even though you're recreational fishing for your customers, you still have to abide by other commercial rules as well as recreational rules. You have a doubled up set of rules.
Yes.
Vessel for hire.
So you have more regulations than what
Recreational fisherman would have on his regular boat, correct?
Yeah. When you get out, you're not only abiding by the state rules, the federal rules, then you got the vessel for hire rules and all these other deals. So it's actually more intense, and you have to have permits for reef fish, for pelagic fish, there's a whole bunch of individual fish you have to have a permit to be able to keep.
Very much so, Frank. The whole deal with it is if it gets worse and worse every year on that side of the rules. I'm just a dumb redneck that likes to fish. So what's going to happen eventually, we'll probably have to hire us a lawyer to help keep up with the rules so we stay out of trouble.
Yeah, it's almost there now.
Right.
I mean, for years I could remember all the rules. But, you know, when you get into Florida, it's the only place in the world I can imagine you get a free shoreline license. All you do is come in and get it. But then they give you exemptions so you don't need it.
Correct.
I mean, so like you say, a pocket attorney down here is very useful. But when you come down and you're hiring Captain Dwayne and Warren to take you out and catch you these big fish. Now, a while back you were getting average around 12-pound grouper. That was the average. You were doing about 8 to 20 pounds. So
and
12, 15 pounds.
And we're still in that range, about 10 to 15 pounds for our quality fish. We had some gentlemen out yesterday, actually, that We had to explain to them, you know, they understood, they're winter residents here. And they're like, well, that's a 20-inch fish. I said, yes, sir, it sure is a 20-inch fish. But the problem is, the minute we throw that in that cooler of ice, slush water, that fish is going to shrink probably a quarter inch plus. And then when we hit the dock, if my friend Michael is standing on the dock with the FWC and wants to measure our fish, then I'm in trouble.
Big trouble.
So it's easier for us to just release the 20-inchers. Gives us a better hatchery. We can have fish for later on down the road. And
okay,
we're going to catch plenty.
Here's something I'd like you to weigh in on a little bit. Rich Novak invented that, the venting tool to vent the fish with. To me, it was a great invention. Used properly, great invention. Now, you might disagree, and that's what I'm wondering about. What are you doing releasing your fish to if... Because you bring them up, and you've got the great gear. I mean, you use all pin torque, and you have all Made in America tackle on your boat. I mean, this is some really nice high-end stuff.
Yes, sir, it very much so. The vetting tool is a good device. The only problem I see with it is there's really not enough education for the recreational angler to really understand how to use this type of product.
Are you using it or using something else? What are you doing?
We use a vetting tool when necessary. I mean, it's not an everyday occurrence.
Well, it's not necessary in every fish.
And every fish is not required. The whole deal is the deeper you go, the more you will need to use that tool. It's just like you and I, if we were diving, you know, once we get to a certain depth, you have to come up and then you have to stage off at a certain depth or level. And then if you come straight to the surface, you wind up with what we know as humans as the bends.
Which is a gas buildup in your blood, which makes you
Correct.
Blow up like a balloon.
Correct. And basically the same thing happens to these fish when we pull them off the bottom.
You know, because it's no longer required to use a venting tool. You don't have to have one anymore, but you guys do keep one on the boat then.
We keep one on the boat, and I'll be honest, if we use it twice a week, you're probably lucky. We have, like Frank said, we run high-end fishing tackle. We get the fish up. We take very good care of them. I would say this year, we may have lost two fish. Since the beginning of the year, which is a very good number.
Here's a question for you, Warren, because, you know, you help with a lot of the fishing. You've been commercial fishing for as long as, I mean, Noah was asking
long
you.
Long generations.
Yes, long generations of fishing. How is it getting the fish off the bottom without getting them eaten by, I mean, Goliath grouper are notorious for taking your fish off the line and the barracudas and the sharks and all that. How are you guys getting around that?
If you get into the Goliath grouper, the best piece of advice that I can say is move. Go somewhere else. Because it's hard to really to get away from them. They'll just eat, and eat. They swim with their mouths open.
I've watched them come up and eat a 3-4 foot shark right next to the boat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I had a boat years ago that you fished on before, they just take the hide off snapper. Once they start, you might as well just... Because they're never full. That's
right.
Like my wife, they're never happy.
So basically, the thing to do is, if you get into the Goliath and they start stealing your fish, A, rig up with a big monster, get yourself an 80 wide international and a 130 billfish or some 200 pound test.
Go ahead and get him to the top, and maybe he'll leave you alone. Go for it.
You know, it's either that or move on.
Right. Or, you know, it's not even so much move on like a mile, just move 75, 80 feet. It doesn't take much. They don't, you know, most of the time they don't leave their spot. They like their spot.
The real homebodies.
Right. That's their domain.
So
they kind of guard it.
Maybe 100 feet. Most of these spots, if you move that far, you might pull out of the grouper for a minute, but you're still going to catch the snapper up on the higher sides. You know, the Goliath, they like structure. So if you can get out of that structure and up off to the edge of it, a little higher up where the smaller fish are also trying to stay away from him, then just 100 feet. And it usually works out pretty good.
Well, that's pretty cool. All right. So what happens when you guys do a trip? When you wake up in the morning, now I wake up every morning, put the Weather Channel on, you know, and because my whole life revolves around the weather. What I'm going to order for bait the next day, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it. What is it with you guys?
It's the same way. We live and die by the weather.
Tell everybody that comes on the boat, my grandfather used to tell me, if you can figure the weather, you can figure fish, which means you can figure women, it'll make you the smartest man alive. So you just got to play everything by ear.
Yeah. Now, excuse me. Hi, Greg.
Hello.
Okay. So basically, you get up, you check the weather. Now, what's the procedure for finding fish? I mean, you gotta have something in your head, and when you wake up, you feel the weather, you look, see what the fronts are going to do and all that. Now, do you decide, what I'm trying to do is, how do you make your decision on how far you're going
to
run?
Water temperature and wind direction, it has a lot to do with what you fish. You know, if you've got a lot of captains are different, there's a lot of great captains out there.
No, there's not.
Not true. Okay.
You know, there's not.
I don't want to be the bad person.
I'll do that. I'll be the bad person. You call them great. I'll call them, you know. I mean, there's got to be, 5,000-10,000 just in, you know, around the area.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys who are really good guys, but it doesn't make them great fishermen.
Yeah, you know, if we get up and it's blowing 15, 20 out of the north, on our coast, our ledges don't, a lot of them don't run that direction. They run, you know, or they run north and south. So if I don't have an east or a west wind, I'm not going to go try to set on a ledge and put just the back of a boat on it. You start looking for roll-offs. So yeah, wind direction, current, water temperature really does play a big role with me as far as what I'm going to fish. You know, we've had an odd winter this year. The big reds have stayed in because the water temperature never got that cold. So a lot of your ledge fishing has kind of been hit or miss. But we've caught most of our fish on, you know, the roll-offs, the hard flat rocks, and
right.
I've been doing real good on the hard flat rocks.
So basically, what you're looking for now, if you get a front come through, usually when I get a front that comes over, I'm looking to go deeper, because the deeper the water, the more atmospheric pressures in the
right.
water, the less it's affected by the atmosphere.
Right.
As you get a front comes over, and the air pressure drops dramatically, the shallow water gets a big hit, and the fish get all screwy. But the deeper you go, if you're down 60 feet, that's like 3 atmospheres down. So it doesn't get affected by the weather as much.
Right.
So now if the weather's been real constant, I tend to look closer. But if the weather, if I'm getting a front coming through, I would think to go out deeper. Now, is that a good idea, bad idea?
You know, I would agree with you. I wouldn't.
You don't have to.
I wouldn't classify it as, you know, going deeper because that's where the fish are at. That wouldn't be true because, you know, just like with any front, it really messes with everything. I think the shallower water fish just stop biting. They'll eat before a front heavy. I mean, some of your best fishing is before a front.
Exactly, because they know they're going to get all messed up. They've got to eat, get through the next few days.
Right, so your thought would be correct, because the farther out you go, the less they're going to feel that pressure. So they're still eating, versus the ones inside are kind of hunkered up for the storm.
Yeah, that's always been my philosophy. If I've got a front that comes across, get out there right before the front, obviously. But we're talking about fishing in the Gulf, so my first rule is never let a storm get between me and shore. I don't like to see a storm. If the storm's rolling up on land, I'm heading back to land.
And that's a good way to be. That's why a lot of people get hurt.
Yeah, because they think, oh, well, you know, I'll just wait it out. Well, if it comes at you, there's no waiting it out.
Once you're in it, you're in it.
You're in it, and then you can hunker down and hope for the best. But basically, I've always figured that the deeper the water, the less effect on the bite when it comes to fronts.
No, you're exactly right. It does.
Okay, so
at
least I wasn't wrong that way.
On this side, Frank, you know, shallow water is determined by each individual. Our normal day is we start somewhere around 60 feet, and then we go from there. But
60 feet to me is not shallow. Now,
right.
Every time you bring up 10 feet, what is an atmospheric... if you're diving, I don't remember where the atmosphere changes, like 15 feet, 20 feet, 10 feet. I don't remember, but none of us remember.
I think I got Jim at Fantasy on speed dial.
I'll have to call Jim and have him come over so we can talk about that. But I think it's 60 feet is like 3 atmospheres or something like that. But because our atmospheric pressure is 14 pounds per square inch. That's what basic atmospheric pressure is. It's what's pressing on your body right now, 14 psi.
Correct.
And that's why we don't explode or implode. We're made to deal with that. But when you're dealing in 1 to 3 feet of water, it's a tremendous hit to the fish.
Very much absolutely. So.
You get 10 feet, it's a little less. 20 feet less, 30 feet less, 40, 50, 60 is down there far enough where you have very minimal effects by storm front. To me, anyway. Now, I'm not sure. We'll have to check. We'll call Jim at Fantasy and find out. We'll get him to come down. Anyway, but what kind of... You guys doing a lot of bait, or are you doing a lot of jigs, or what are you doing?
Most of it is going to be our cut bait. There again, we like our squid wings. We like our squid. We like our sardines.
Isn't that squid wings amazing?
Squid wings is the way to go.
Yeah, people, they're so used to buying the squid in the box. And you try and tell them, look at it. It's clean.
It's convenient.
But it's soap and water clean. So if you buy the big squid, A, it produces a market for them out of California, help reducing the numbers, because they attack people. They attack everything. They're vicious.
Right.
And if we can get a good market going for them, but they've never been washed and processed.
Right.
People say, well, this squid's rotten. It stinks. No, it smells like squid.
Correct. Plus, it holds on the hook a little better than your regular squid as well.
And what I like is you can get a big, thick chunk of squid, or you can put a chunk with a very thin taper.
I can do it any way I want.
And to me, that makes that squid wing just one of the most valuable tools out there.
Correct.
Now, since the last time we talked, have you tried to squid them?
No, we do use the squid and the sardines, but I personally, I'm not one to be tucking one inside to the other. I think it works as well if I do it just the other way.
I know, but I just... Now, a squid dumb is...
What are we talking about?
You take a Spanish sardine, and you take the head, the legs out of a squid, so you've just got the hollow tube body. Kind of like what you're going to do before a romantic evening or before a romantic moment. And you put the sardine up inside of the squid, and then you put your hook through it.
Folks,
squid them.
The price of the charter is going to go up if I've got to do that.
I got to tell you, I thought it was a great idea when he told me about it.
Yeah, I guess it's just like getting a milkshake and mixing the strawberry and the chocolate. Some people like it, some people don't.
You know, some people want it separate. Now, I know people that got to have all their food separated on their plate.
I'm not that person.
And other people like me, where it just kind of all gets mixed together, you know, and I eat a little bit of this. And sometimes I like it better mixed and sometimes separated. But squid dub is actually a pretty cool idea.
We're just Florida crackers, man. We do it the simple way. I mean, somebody had a lot of time sitting around. Let me shove this into this squid.
Appella.
Oh, Dave Appella. That explains it all. We'll leave that alone, folks. I love him to death, but I'll leave that alone. He drives a Mercedes, and I drive a pickup truck. So what are we going to do?
So basically, it's a pig in a blanket for a grouper, right?
Yeah, pig in a blanket for a grouper. That's exactly the way to describe it. It's wonderful. But, yeah, Dave does have his... eccentric moments.
Very much so.
Gotta love him to death. Nicest guy on the planet, but boy, he breaks it down little tiny, doesn't
he? Yes, he does. And he enjoys it, though.
I think that's why he drives that expensive car when we're driving the... So, I mean, you gotta give him his due. Anyway, let's see. Let's get down to the basics. You offer 1-day trips, 2-day, 3-day. What do you offer on the
boat? We offer about anything you could actually want. We try to cater to our clients no matter what their needs are. We will do a 6-hour trip. We do an 8-hour, a 10, a 12, a 24, a 36. I mean, if you want, we're for her for a week at a time. It doesn't matter to us.
Dwayne will take you to Cuba if you ask him.
Yeah, I know. I'm not much into the Cuba side. I like the American side better.
Tortugas, though. You guys
can do anything in that range they want.
I love fishing
middle
the
grounds.
Tortugas.
It doesn't matter to us. We have the boat, the accommodations. It's just all of, at that point, it becomes price.
Exactly.
So, like I say, anything you can dream of, we can make happen.
You may be a prostitute, but you ain't a cheap prostitute.
No, sir, we're not cheap.
No, I'm that end of it.
You're that end of it? Okay. So, Tell me the name of the website again.
It's www.sportfishingplacita.com.
All right. Now
we offer a split trip for our winter residents as well, Frank, which is real good.
So they can call you and get their name on a list.
They can call and put their name on a list. And what we do is we go down the list. Because a lot of guys that are here or girls that are here for the winter, they have one or two people that they hang with. So what we do is we offer them an option to be able to enjoy what we have as we call home or paradise out here in the Gulf of Mexico. They can go for a couple $100 a person versus buying the whole boat. Now, they have to be willing to fish with somebody they may never know, never met, don't know. But normally it works out about 99.9% of the time. It works out to be a very good day for everybody. And at the end of the day, whatever the catch is, we split it six ways with every person that's on the boat. So if one guy doesn't fish as well as the next, he still goes home with the same amount of fish as everybody else. Everybody paid the same equal amount. They're going to take home the same equal amount of fish.
And now, grouper's, what, $20-some dollars a pound in a store?
About $22 to $24 a pound right now.
Somebody on the boat said it was over $24 when he
okay, let's figure 4 pounds of that is $100.
Right.
4 pounds of grouper would be $100. So if you got 8 pounds of grouper, you pretty much paid for your trip.
You paid for your trip, and 8 pounds of grouper is just a drop in the hat. We had guys the other day, and these guys fish with us. They're actually snowbirds. They run four of them on the boat at a time. They'd rather do it that way, and they pay $300 a piece, which the boat's $1,200 for the 8-hour day. So those guys went out. They come in with over $2,000 worth of grouper. And they paid $1,200 for the boat. That's not counting their snapper, their porgies, their grunts, their triggerfish, or anything else that we had on top of that.
So, all in all, pretty darn good day.
A very good day.
Now, just so everybody knows, now Dwayne also is does some tarpon fishing. We're going to have Dwayne come back and do tarpon. He's one of the king of tarpon fishing. And these guys also do back bay charters, where the cost is much less than the back bay. When you're running a 42-foot Hatteras with twin diesels, and it's a very safe boat, I don't like being out in single-engine boats. I'm not a big fan of single-engine boats 40 miles out or 30 miles out. I've done it. I've had my flats boat 40 miles out, but
doesn't mean it's right, though.
Doesn't mean I was right. And you know, when you look at the outside of me, it doesn't look that bad, but the inside, it's a real mess. You look behind the eyes and you can see there's damage.
Exactly.
But anyway, we're going to get them back and talk more about offshore fishing and our inside fishing. And we got a big tarpon season coming up this year. Do you have any days left open?
We do, actually.
That's weird.
It is quite different. We just discussed this the other day, Warren and I, and I don't know what the reasoning is, other than the last couple years we've had a lot of sharks, and I think that's put a little damper on the fishery, which has slowed down somewhat.
Actually, shark fishing is shark charters have started to outpace the tarpon trips.
Correct.
I mean, just a huge number of people wanting to come down and eat the things that eat these other, that eat the tarpon. I mean, not eat them, but they want to catch the fish that kills the tarpon. I mean, they're looking for the biggest, nastiest predator they can find.
And I think a lot of it's an ego trip, to be honest with you, Frank.
Of course it is. They want
to
do battle.
They're looking for something that they know could eat them and just as quick as they could hook their fish itself. So
I get it entirely. If I'm going to do battle, I love fighting a tarpon for the visuals, because tarpon is the most visually stunning fish you can catch. But the shark, I mean, let's face it, this thing can turn around and things can go seriously wrong, seriously quick, and it's a major adrenaline rush.
Very much so. You and Robert yourself have been with me on my bay boat. We've had a 17-foot hammerhead beside the boat.
Yep.
You've seen it live in person, you know?
Oh, no. I get it. I mean, I know what the adrenaline rush is. I've been standing there next to the gunwale and found myself in the middle of the boat without even knowing I moved.
Right. Not even realizing you backed up because that fish is getting a little bit close for the comfort.
Yeah. It's a primordial thing. But we're going to come back and talk about that. Any last things to talk about with the grouper stuff? I mean, you guys have been having a lot of fun doing this. The boat's finally up and ready. The outside of the boat kind of looks pretty modern and streamlined. But what I love most about your boat is when you get up into the deck area, the cabin, and you walk in, it's got that wonderful
old classic look.
I would almost call it the John F. Kennedy type stuff. It's got the mahogany wood and the teak, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, and we kind of pride ourselves in it.
Halfway through the remodel, I just quit giving opinions because Dwayne had an idea, and it turned out really nice. It did. It's a great boat.
Well, I'm pretty anal with that side.
That was the word
I came to
just
the
a
shop.
Little bit.
I came to the shop this morning.
Just a little bit?
To pick up a couple reels, and they're all busting me, you know?
There might be a small part of the way that has this, it's got to be perfect thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's about 42 foot of it sitting in the dock.
Hey, you know what, though, guys? The best part is we're as anal about catching fish as we are maintaining our stuff. So
absolutely.
That makes it great for everybody. Everybody gets to try that side of it.
Okay. And, well, anyway, you got the next couple of days off. Very high winds, 20 to 30 mile an hour winds. Tomorrow you guys are using it to get your equipment together, restock, get everything. Everybody thinks, well, the captain's off for the day, so... You know, you get to sit home and watch cartoons, but yeah, I'm afraid Donald Duck is going to have to do without you today.
Huh? No, we'll
have to sell some boats before we can watch cartoons.
Correct. We got too many boats to keep maintained at this point, but at least when we get days off, the shop guys at the shop get to see us. We do miss being here at the shop for you guys a lot, but we enjoy the fishing much better, so I don't know how to put that to you. But
it's okay. I understand being number two. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, you're the number one bait shop. Don't you ever doubt that, buddy. I can promise you that.
Oh, I would say that if Frank wasn't sitting here, but I don't want it to go to his head.
Too late. I'm already an egomaniac, crazy person. Everybody knows that.
I deal with a lot of them, and this is the best one.
So, well, thank you, guys. But basically... We're going to wrap up this session of Radio Fishing. We got Captain Warren and Captain Dwayne with us. And if you guys want to go out in the Gulf and have just an amazing adventure and, you know, try and keep Warren from, you know, hanging from the rigging. And, you know, other than that, you know, I mean, and it does make for great entertainment. But he's looking at me like, you. I mean, there's a lot of initials I could be putting with that U after that.
Yeah. Beep, 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 beep.
But this is Fishing Frank, Captain Dwayne in the chair across from me, and Warren in the guest spot. Thank you guys so much for listening. Click Dwayne's picture, or I might be putting the logo next to this, but click that. And when you click on it, it's going to take you right to his website and learn more about these guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next Radio Fishing, or at least talk to you.